I think these batteries are weak. It's green now, but it was yellow, so it might have been left on. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. You'll get the same message, just without the subtitles. Hope you get a blessing. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we have a different account of the same event. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what you ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on the message. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We know that, Lord, all things are possible through him. We know that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to trust in or rely upon our own strength, but to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Lord, we give you all the credit, all the glory, all the honor. We pray, dear Lord, that you would use this time to glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify the truth of the Word of God, to edify the hearts of these believers in the faith. Help us, O Lord, to not only learn something, but to act upon the things that we learn. We pray that you would be our teacher, that you would minister to us by the preaching of the Word of God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now, in these passages that we just read, James and John greatly desire something from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you compare the two passages, you see that either they put their mother up to it, or she heard them talking about it and took it upon herself to bring it up. Either way, this is something that they wanted that eventually got brought to the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all have common prayer requests. What I mean by that is we all We all pray for the same things, basically. We pray for health, we pray for finances, we pray for the salvation of lost family members, we pray for God's guidance and protection. There are those common prayer requests that we all have. And even in our own personal prayer requests, there are those things which are somewhat basic and somewhat rudimentary. But among our prayer requests, there's something that we have on the tip of our tongue that's at the forefront of our hearts and minds, something that we greatly desire from the Lord. And that's something akin to what James and John have here. Their request is something kind of above and beyond the normal. And if we're honest, at times these requests that we have overshadow all other requests. And these men, James and John, they weren't fools. They didn't just haphazardly say, hey, I think it'd be a great idea if when Jesus comes in His kingdom that we could sit on His right hand or His left, you know, like we don't have anything better to do. They weren't fools. These men weren't immature Christians, you know. They weren't seeking to exalt themselves. They weren't looking for power on earth right then. They weren't saying, Lord, help grant us that we can sit on Your right and left hand now. They were saying, Lord, grant us this thing when you're in Your kingdom and in Your glory. So they weren't asking for something that they could consume upon their lust right then and there. Matter of fact, I don't see where they were trying to exalt themselves above their brethren right there. They were simply asking for something in the future, something that they greatly desired. And these men, James and John, knew that they were going to be a part of Christ's kingdom just as we do. We're going to be a part of that kingdom. And if you're going to be a part of that kingdom, why not ask for the best? It only makes sense. Why not ask to be in a place where you're constantly by the Lord Jesus Christ? If we're promised that we're going to rule and reign with Christ in His kingdom, why not ask to be on His right hand and left? Amen? Amen. David in the Psalms, in Psalm 27 verse 4, David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." David had one thing that he desired. Now, we know that he had several desires, several things that he asked God for, several things that he expected from God, but there was one chief desire, one prayer request that took precedent above all the others, one thing that was on David's heart that he desired, and he said, "And that will I seek after." That's what James and John are doing here. This isn't just a haphazard request. This is something that's been on their hearts and minds, something that they greatly desired and that they asked the Lord Jesus Christ for. Maybe they put their mom up to it. I don't know. Maybe she just heard them talking about it at the dinner table, talking about Jesus Christ's kingdom, talking about the glory, amen, and what a great thing it would be to sit on His right hand and on His left hand. And maybe that mother heard that, and when the opportunity presented itself, she brought it up herself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. But I know there is something in your heart, something in your life, something that you desire from the Lord, not something sinful, not something worldly, not even necessarily something that's going to take place in this life, but something that you're desiring of Christ. Every one of us have that. In Psalm 84, verse 10, David says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." Well, yeah, if you got the choice, it's a whole lot better even to just be a doorman in heaven than to be a millionaire on earth. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. But we are going to be in heaven. We are going to be in that kingdom. Amen. And rather than just be a doorkeeper, let's aim for something a little better. Amen. Let's aim for something a little higher for the glory of God. And, if I got a choice whether to be a doorkeeper or have the best seat in the house, you know, what would you do? I remember when I was a little kid, we had a friend that used to go and had, she could get into the symphony for free. And it was Christmas time, and she invited us to go, and she said, "You want to go see the Nutcracker Ballet?" And sure, we want to go see that. And we went, we got in, didn't have to pay. The only catch was we had to hand out the little programs, you know. And everybody's taking their seat, and we're sitting there passing out the programs. And then when everybody got seated and the lights went out and the thing started, then we kind of had to look and find a seat to sit in. Amen? But we got in for free, so we were happy. All we had to do was pass out those little programs. But listen, if somebody comes up to you and says, "Listen, I've got the best seats in the house. I've purchased them. All you have to do is sit next to me." And then you got another friend that says, "Hey, I can get in for free, but you just got to do, after a little work, you can find the best thing you can find." You know, it might be in the nosebleed section where you have to look through binoculars, but you get in anyway, you know. I mean, if you got a choice between the two, you know who you'd go with, amen? Amen. You'd go with the person who got the best seats in the house. Your friend's got a seat to, you know, a tickets to a football game. You don't got to sit in the nosebleed section with the clouds. You want to sit there on the 50-yard line, man. You want to have the best seat. Listen, we know we're going to heaven. We know we're going to be a part of Christ's kingdom. But don't you want to rule and reign with Christ? Don't you want the best seat? Amen? I mean, Scripture's filled with those references. Jesus said, when you're bidden to a feast, don't go sit in the upper seats. And they come, lest they come to you and say, listen, you're going to have to move because somebody more important than you is here. He says, don't do that. Go sit in the lower seat, amen, so that it may be said unto thee, hey, friend, come on and sit up here with us. And then he says, thou shalt have worship in the presence of the people that are there. You know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, you might want the best seat, but take a back seat at first and then be called up. You know what that is? That's the Lord giving you instructions on how to get the best seat. He's not telling you, the best seat is not for Christians. He's not telling you, you know what? The best seat is not even something you should have your heart's desire on. You should be humble and you should desire the back seat. No. He's saying the best seat, it's something to be desired. Here's how you get it. Take the back seat first. Colossians 3, verse 2, we are told, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. A lot of times that's misquoted. We say, well, set your affections on things. That's not what the verse says. It says, set your affection, your one desire on things above and not on things of this earth. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, but and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We've all got something that we desire from the Lord. You know what we desire? We desire glory. I'm glad I've got eternal life. I'm glad I'm going to be in heaven, but I don't want to have it. I don't want to be in a back seat in heaven. I want to be front row. I want to inherit eternal life. I want to reap eternal life. I want to get everything that eternal life has to offer. Amen. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Christopher, could you give me a little water, please? Philippians 3:14, the Apostle Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If there's no prize, what's the pressing all about? Paul says, I'm pressing towards something. I'm aiming for something. I'm looking for something. What is it? It's a prize. He's not talking about salvation. He's saved. He got that, man. Thanks. Man, I'm saved. I have got it. But there's a prize to be had. And I have to run in order to obtain that prize. We have to press toward that mark. God's not telling you, listen, you shouldn't worry about the prize. Just be happy you're going to heaven. He never told us that. He told us, listen, run so you may obtain. There is a prize. There is a seat. There is something to be desired. There's something to be greatly desired. What is it for you? I don't know. I know what it is for me. We all have something personal that we want the Lord to do for us. We want something beyond just eternal life. We want to have something. We want to reap something like James and John. Now, for me, it's not, I don't want to sit at the right hand or left hand. Has anybody in here ever had that as your desire? No. I mean, I highly doubt that you've ever considered it would be a good thing to sit at either the right or left hand of Jesus Christ in His kingdom. You know why you never thought about that? Because you got something else for your desire. Amen. We're all different. But you do have a desire, a strong desire, one that's just as strong and one that's just as impressive, one that's just as glorious as sitting at the right or left hand of Christ. What is it? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. The problem with many professing Christians today is that they've set their sights too low in their desires. And they're so busy desiring cars and games and clothes and friends and all the stuff in this world that they've sold themselves short in their desires. Instead of having their affection set on things above and looking to obtain the prize, they're too mired in the desires and the things of this world. There's no fire in their hearts when they hear a scripture like Matthew 19:29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. There's nothing that burns in the heart of a Christian when he reads a passage that talks about bearing fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. They look at that and they say, well, as long as I get to heaven, I'll be happy. That's not the proper response to those scriptures. The proper response to those scriptures is to say, you know what? I want to go for the 100-fold. Amen. I mean, look at the Olympics. They get a bronze medal, a silver medal, a gold medal. You think somebody goes, well, I'm just happy I was in the Olympics. They might say that 30 years down the road, I don't know. If they gave it their best, God bless them. But you know what? You know why they go to those Olympics? You know why those athletes train? To receive a prize. And you know what? They're not setting their sights on the bronze. They're happy if they get it. They're not setting their sights on the silver. They're happy if they get it. I'm going to the Olympics. What for? I want to win the bronze medal. Oh, hey, man. I don't know whether anybody told you about this. But there's two extra levels better than bronze. Oh yeah, I know all about the gold and silver, but I ain't interested in that. I'm not that good. I want to win the bronze. You never heard an Olympic athlete talk like that. You know what they all want? And they all want more than one. They want the gold. You know why? Because this book tells them that that's what they want. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. You know what you want, Christian? You want to go for the gold. You want to run the race. You want to press toward the mark. You have something that you greatly desire. It may not be to sit at the right and left hand of Christ, but there's something you want. What is it? What is it? When Christians hear those scriptures, their hearts are cold. And they're so mired in the things of this world that it doesn't affect them the way it should. And that's why the scripture continually says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When you hear a scripture that challenges you and tells you, you know what, this is for those who give up houses and lands and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and wives and children, this is available. Instead of just automatically giving up and saying, well, that's not for me, how about considering and saying, Lord, with your help, could I get that? There's a lot of things in the Bible you need to investigate and find out what positions are available. I read in Revelation that there's 24 elders that sit around the throne. I don't think the Bible identifies who those people are. It's not the 12 apostles. There's 24 of them. 12 apostles of the Lamb, they got their reward and something else. Who are these 24 elders? You know, in the Bible, elders are pastors. I wonder how many pastors in the church age are wanting to be one of the 24 elders. Is it, Brother Adam, is that what you want? No, it's not. No, it's not. I got something a little lower on the totem pole. But, you know, bless God, maybe I should shoot for it. Who knows? Maybe there's just not that. Maybe the competition isn't that stiff. I've already lost a little ball. A little magical fluff ball. The spit catcher. All right. When Christians hear these things, they don't hear them. They let it pass through one ear and out the other. Instead of letting the God set a fire inside of their soul and saying, you know what? I want that. I'm going to press toward that. I'm going to pay the price for that. James and John heard. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 33. I'll tell you, they heard. In Mark chapter 10, they asked Christ for the right and the left hand. But before they ever asked Christ about it, look at what happened in Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Mark 9, verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. All 12 disciples were wanting it. Verse 35, and he sat down and he called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. You know what the Lord did? He didn't tell those fellows. He said, what were y'all arguing about? And they were all like, And he says, I know what y'all are arguing about. Y'all are arguing about who is going to be the greatest among you. And they're expecting Jesus to say, why would you think of such a carnal thing? You shouldn't be arguing about who should be greatest. You shouldn't even be desiring to be great. No, he didn't say that. You know what he did? He told them how to get what they wanted. He said, okay, you want to be great? Here you go. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. That's how you get to be first. He wasn't discouraging them. He was putting a challenge in front of them. And he was saying, you want it, boys? Here's how you get it. And all 12 of them wanted it. But when Christ said, he that shall be greatest among you shall be the servant of all, 10 of those disciples said, well, if that's what it costs, I guess I better desire something a little easier. I'll just desire to judge Israel on 12 thrones. But 2 of those disciples looked at that and they said, you know what? He didn't tell us we couldn't have it. He told us there's a way to be humble, to be a servant. And they didn't let that thing go. And in the next chapter, they took it a little step further and they said, Lord, we want to sit on your right and left hand. And the Lord didn't tell them, that is a stupid request. You shouldn't desire that at all. No, he told them how to get it. You see, where others were discouraged and disinterested, they became challenged. In the Old Testament, Moses sends 12 spies into the Promised Land. And they come back, and the 10 spies, they say, oh yeah, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But those men are giants, and we're like grasshoppers, and we can't take it. We better put our sights on something else. We better desire something a little easier to obtain. But old Joshua and Caleb, too, they said, we can take it. The Lord's with us. We can do it. Let's go. And you know how the story ends. God told those 10 spies, the nation of Israel listened to the 10 spies, and they said, oh, we can't do it. And God got angry with them, and he said, listen, because you listened to the voice of those 10 spies and you doubted me, you're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years, and your children are going to go in. And Joshua and Caleb are going to go in. See, Joshua and Caleb, they wanted it, and they got to go in. And you know what? During that 40 years journey in the wilderness, when they were going through all those troubles and all those battles, Caleb saw a mountain, and he said, I want that mountain. I know I'm going into the Promised Land. God's already told me I'm going there. But there's something else I want. There's a prize in the Promised Land that I want. I want that mountain. And you know what God told him? He says, all right, you fight the battles of Israel, and when they're getting moved into the Promised Land, I'll give you that mountain. I'll give you your heart's desire. There's a price, but if you're willing to pay the price, son, I'll give it to you. It just so happens there's 10 spies that doubt and 2 that say we can do it. There's 10 disciples that say they dropped the ball. James and John, the only ones that are asking for the right and the left hand to be greatest. I hope you have something that you greatly desire from the Lord Jesus Christ for His glory. I hope you do, and I think you do. If you don't, you need to read the Scriptures a little bit more. You need to investigate and find out what exactly there is to be obtained. Because there is a prize. I'm not talking about eternal life. We got that. But there is something that you can earn as a Christian. There is something that you can pay the price for and something that you can obtain. Glory! Shall I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. It says others fought to win the prize. It wasn't eternal life they were winning. They got that as a gift. There's a prize to be won. What is that prize? It is that thing that your heart greatly desires. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we're told that Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He saw something that He wanted, the redemption of mankind, and so He saw in order to get that, He had to be crucified. He had to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He saw the much fruit. He says, I want to glorify my Father by bringing forth much fruit. And the Lord says, okay, you want to do that? You're going to have to die, son. And he was willing to pay the price. And he won the prize. In several passages, over and over, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered through the horrible ordeal of Calvary in order to obtain a glorious redemption for us. In these passages, in Matthew and Mark, we see the Lord Jesus Christ asks a question of James and John concerning their abilities. They said, Lord, we want you to do something for us. And he said, what is it, boys? And they said, we want to sit on your right hand and on your left hand in your kingdom. And the Lord doesn't say that's a bad request. He just says, you don't know what you're asking. And he doesn't discourage them and tell them, you can't have it. He asks them a question. He says, are ye able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And you know he's not talking about water baptism. All three of them had already been water baptized. He's talking about a baptism of suffering. Are you willing to go through suffering? Are you willing to take of the cup that I'm going to take of? And you know what they said? It's amazing. They said, yeah, we're able. I think the Lord was shocked. If there's such a thing as shock in the Lord. Because more often when God gives us a challenge, we say, well, this is the reason why we can't. And this is why I can't. And this is why it's impossible. In Matthew 14:15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. You know what their response would have been inside their minds? We can't. Whenever God asks us something, our response to His request is usually why we can't. But you know that wasn't the case with James and John. The Lord said, are you boys able to be baptized with this baptism? Are you able to take of this cup? And they said, without blinking an eye, yes, we're able. And the Lord doesn't tell them, you're lying, you can't. He doesn't say, you know, you guys, you're totally mistaken. You're trusting in yourselves. He didn't say that. Because he knew they were able. Because he was going to give them strength to go through that baptism. He was going to give them strength to take that cup. As a matter of fact, the Lord didn't tell them you can't. He said, you shall indeed. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's something missing from President Obama's slogan. Yes, we can. You know what's missing? Through Christ. Yes, we can through Christ. Yes, we can by itself. It's going to fail. Christ said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. James and John said, we can. You know why? Because they knew the Lord would give them grace. And Christ said, you shall indeed. He didn't flinch. He didn't deride their confident answer. Because he knows he would strengthen them when the time came for the baptism in the cup. So he says, you shall indeed, boys. You shall indeed. Now, wait a minute. They said, this is our request. And the Lord says, okay, you don't understand what you're asking. If this is your request, are you willing to do this? And they said, yeah. And he said, you will do it. You will. You know, if we would just be willing to do what God wants us to do, we'd find out that we are able and that we shall indeed. He says, you shall indeed be baptized with the baptism and you shall indeed drink of the cup. You know what? They were going to do it anyway. They were going to have to do it anyway. So the fact that they asked their request and the fact that he told them this is what it takes and you're going to fulfill it shows that ultimately they qualify for the right hand and the left hand. The truth is, brethren, we are going indeed to go through those things anyway, indeed, before we ever ask our request. The truth is, in Philippians 1:29, it is given unto you, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The Lord doesn't tell them, boys, you're not going to get it. I hate to let you down. I don't want to build up your hopes. You can't have it. No, He tells them it's not His to give. It's the Father's, for whom it is prepared. In other words, somebody's going to sit on the right hand and on the left. But it's up to the Father. But you know what Christ told them? Just like He told them in chapter 9. You want to be great? Here's how to do it. You want to sit on my right hand and left? Here's how to do it. Are you able? Yeah, we're able. You know what, boys? You are able. You will do it. But it's not mine to give. You're going to have to wait. And you know what? When the time comes out for God to grant those seats, I have a sneaking suspicion that He's going to call James and John and say, boys, not only were you able, but you did indeed drink of that cup and were baptized with that baptism, and you've won the prize. You won the prize. I mean, why even question their ability if it was something they couldn't attain? Why ask them if they were able if it was an impossibility? The truth is, Christ was giving them the secret of how to get their request. You want to be great? Humble yourself. You'll be great. How about you? What's your desire? What is it that you're running to obtain? What's the prize that's awaiting for you in glory? You mean you don't have a prize that you're after? You're just going to be happy to be getting to the promised land? There's no mountain that you want? If you got a prize, run that you may obtain. Run. He says, know ye not that all run the race, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. He's not telling you that to discourage you. You know, only one person's going to win this race. Well, I might as well give up. That's not the right attitude. Listen, only one person can win this prize. The attitude should be, that person is going to be me by the grace of God. God giving me grace, I'm not going to quit till I get the prize. That's the Apostle Paul. That's the Savior. That's you if you don't quit. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your message. And Lord, I know what encourages my heart. And it puts an extra spring in my step to want to sprint a little faster, a little harder, to lay aside the weights, to keep my eyes focused on the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, because I want to win the prize. Everybody here has a prize waiting for them. And Lord, if the statistics are correct, only 2 out of 10 are going to actually go all the way. Only 2 out of 10 are actually going to try for it. That's sad. It's not your fault. And Lord, I don't say these things to discourage people. I say that so somebody here will say, you know what, by the grace of God, I'm going to be on the side of the two. I'm going to be on James and John's side, not the other 10 disciples. I'm going to be on Joshua and Caleb's side, not the other 10 spies. I'm going to be on the right side. I'm going to want that mountain, and I'm going to do everything in my power to get it by the grace of God. Lord, help Your people focus on the Word of God, set their affections on things above. Help them, Lord, if they don't have a prize that they're after, to get one and get it quick, because time is short. And help them, Lord, to run the race. We know that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding weight of glory. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. Have a good night.